In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. So today, we celebrate the raising of Lazarus, the righteous. This is a very, very important thing that happens here, both in the time of Christ and what was going on with the Passion, as he moved towards his Passion, and also just in the whole divine salvation of mankind. In terms of the large picture, in terms of the salvation of mankind, this reminds us of the universal resurrection. This raising of Lazarus, as the church says in so many of its hymns, points us to the fact that we too shall be raised at the end of time, that our bodies and our souls will be reunited, or if we manage to live until the return of Christ, that we shall be raised without ever having tasted death. And so it gives us hope. It's a glimmer of hope, not a glimmer. It's a huge, huge amount of hope that this gives us, that our God who raised Lazarus will raise us from the dead as well. As he said to Martha, Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Once again, it's like the email I sent out where he's talking about a spiritual death as well as a physical death. That he who believes in me, though he die, although he dies physically, yet shall he live. He lives after he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die, meaning die spiritually. So this is to remind us that even though we may die physically, that we always will live in Christ, and that he will raise us up again as he did Lazarus. As I said, this is a promise. This is a promise that he makes to us, as it says in so many of the hymns of the church. This also shows his great power. In terms of, I'm going to come back and talk about a little more about how it applies to all of our salvation. But how it applies to what was going on at that time, the people that came and that waved the palms and laid their cloaks down and the branches down and shouted, Hosanna, and the highest blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, came because of the raising of Lazarus. It was those people who were there, it says in the gospel, with Mary, who followed him and then who went before him to Jerusalem. And it was partly because of this that the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders of the day, sought to put him to death and sought to put Lazarus to death as well, because so many people then realized that Christ was the Messiah, and so many of those people then followed him. And so, like I said, it had immediate meaning, even for those who didn't see the spiritual significance. For those who wanted to put him to death, it just reaffirmed to them that he was becoming a problem, that he was taking away their authority. Instead of recognizing his authority, being God, and following him, and being part of his wonderful kingdom, they felt threatened. And they felt threatened by the story, as some of them, I imagine, saw it, of him raising Lazarus from the dead. As for how it pertains to us, like I said before, it points us to the general resurrection. It's a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful story. So I'm going to read a little bit of it from the gospel. It says, at that time, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, and Bethany being the village that Mary and her sister Martha were from. We remember Mary and Martha from when Christ was at their house, and Martha was working and wanted Mary to help her and said, Lord, tell her to help me. And that's when Christ said, no, Mary has chosen the one thing needful. And we also know Mary because she anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. And so when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill. And how he was told this is that the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." And when he heard this, he stayed for 2 days longer than he was planning on staying, and said to his disciples, "Let us go to Lazarus, for he is asleep, and I will wake him." And the disciples misunderstood what he was saying. He was saying, "Let us go to Judea." And first of all, the disciples didn't want to go to Judea because it was there that the Jewish leaders that were there were seeking to stone him and to kill him. And he had just left, and now he wanted to go back again. And so he answered them. He said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not with him." And he, of course, is the light that he's talking about there, that he is walking, and it is by his will that these things are going to be done. And so he says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awake him out of his sleep." And the disciples misunderstood. They said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he's going to wake up." And so he had to tell them very plainly. He says, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So what he's talking about is obviously the fact that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead so that they see his power and his glory and believe in him. Now Thomas the twin said to his fellow disciples, he said, "Let us go that we also may die with him," knowing how much the authorities wanted Jesus killed and that they would probably be going to his death and their death, which of course was the case. And they had heard him preach about that many times, that he was going to have to go to Jerusalem and to die. And so when they got there, they found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days, and that he had been dead for quite some time, 4 days. The body already starts to decompose by 4 days, as we know from science. Much of the hymnody from the canon for this feast that we sang last night talks about how there had been those who had been risen from the dead. Elijah and Elisha both raised people from the dead. Christ had raised the son of the widow of Nain. But none of these people had been dead for 4 days. None of them had started to decompose, to suffer that which is natural in the fallen world after death, of decomposition. And so that's part of what this shows us, is the true power of God. It points out in those hymns that even Elijah and Elisha, when they raised the dead, that it was Christ who was raising the dead. It was not them who were doing it. It was the power of Christ. But this is important because that means that the people who were there, the faithful Jewish followers who were there, would know of Elijah and Elisha raising people from the dead. They may have even known of Christ raising the widow's son from the dead on the bier, or raising the young girl from the dead. But they then saw the true power of God. They saw the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his true power, that he's the creator, that he was able to take that which through fallen nature had started to decompose, had started to break down, and recreate it, to renew the man Lazarus who had died. And so when he was there, there were many Jewish people there with Mary and Martha to console them about her brother, about their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to him and met him while Mary stayed at the house. And Martha said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." You see the faith that she has here. She knows that Christ could have protected him, could have kept him safe from being sick unto death. And she says, "And even now I know that whatever you will ask from God, God will give it to you." And Christ said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha responded, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." For there were many Jewish people at the time who already believed in the resurrection of the last day. There were some who did not, but there were many who did. And Jesus then replied to her, that famous I am statement, of which there are seven in the Gospel of John. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am the resurrection and the life. He then asks her, he says, do you believe this? And she said to him, she said, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. This is amazing. This is an amazing confession that she makes of him here. She basically makes the same confession that Peter makes when he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Christ says, upon this rock I will build this church, not meaning the man Peter, but meaning the rock that is that confession. And she here says that has that same confession. Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. And then when she did this, she went and called her sister Mary and said to her quietly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. I imagine she was surrounded by a number of people at that time. And so then Mary rose and went to him. Now Jesus hadn't made it to the village yet, but he was still in the place at which Martha had come out to meet him. And so the people who were there saw Mary rise and then went with her. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to continue to mourn her brother. And when Mary came to Jesus and she saw him, she fell at his feet, which is obviously a sign of worship. This is the second time when she'd shown worship and adoration to him by cleaning his feet, anointed his feet with ointment and wiping them with her hair on her knees. And now she's fell on his feet again and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her and those who were with her weeping, he was moved in spirit and was troubled. And he asked, where have you laid him? It's another thing that the hymnody points out, that when he asked, where have you laid him, he was asking in his humanity. His divinity obviously knew where he was. Jesus as God knew where he was, but God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, in a sense, allowed himself to not always have his divine attributes. So at this point, asking this, of course, as God, he would have known. But then he asked, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And then it has the shortest verse in the scriptures. Jesus wept. And here again, we see his humanity. We see his great love for his friend Lazarus. And we see him breaking down and crying because of the death of Lazarus, because of the death of his friend, knowing that he is going to raise him from the dead. I said we see his humanity, but we see his divinity as well. For God certainly weeps for us and for the brokenness and sinfulness of this world. And so those who were there said, see how he loved him, talking about Christ's great love for Lazarus. And some of them asked the same thing that Mary and Martha asked. They said, he opened the eyes of the blind man. Could he have not kept this man from dying? And it says that Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb, that it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Once again, pointing back to the fact that he had started to decompose. He had started to return dust to dust. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Here we see the glory of God in his creative aspect, in his redemptive aspect, being able to redeem and resurrect and, in a sense, recreate Lazarus who had died. So they took away the stone from the place where the dead were laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that thou hear me always. But I have said this on account of the people standing by, that they may believe that thou didst send me. So here he's praying to the Father and basically saying that which doesn't need to be said, but he's doing it for the sake of the salvation of those around him. In the same way that he stayed so that Lazarus would actually die, so that he'd raise him from the dead. He could have very well went and healed him immediately, but this was for their sake, to show them his glory, and this was also for our sake, to assure us of the general resurrection. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." I've heard it said that it was very intentional that he said, "Lazarus, come out." That if he had just said, "Come out," that all the people in Hades would have come out. But instead he said, "Lazarus, come out," or "come forth." The hymns of the canon and the compline that are sung the night before, that were sung yesterday evening, talk about this. They personify Hades. And they talk about how Hades was surprised when all of a sudden this man who had been in Hades for 4 days was called forth and that he was supposed to come out. And it says that Hades tells Lazarus to hurry, that he wants Lazarus to quickly leave so that he does not give up everything, so he does not give up everybody, not recognizing that within a week that is exactly what is going to happen when Christ goes and harrows hell, when he goes and he saves all those who are in Hades and raises them from the dead. So he says, "Lazarus, come out," and that is when Lazarus rises. And he comes out, and he was still bandaged in the funeral cloths, his hands and feet bound with bandages, and his face wrapped with a cloth, which would have been the normal Jewish way of burial. And Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." And it says, "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him." Now, as I said, these are the same people who would then go on with him to Palm Sunday, who would go and sing Hosanna in the highest. And people often say, "Oh, these how quickly they changed, the people that were singing Hosanna in the highest, so, you know, less than a week later were shouting, 'Crucify him.'" But that's really not correct. The number of people that would have come to Jerusalem in those days for the Passover numbered in the hundreds of thousands. So those who were there when at his trial were probably not the same people who were there and had seen him come in glory and had believed in him. Those that had experienced that and those that had followed him during his life, so many of them, such a large percentage of them, died in martyrdom because they were witnesses to things like this. They were witnesses to his raising Lazarus from the dead. So they put their faith in him in the same way that Mary and Martha put their faith in him. And we see an interesting thing here concerning how they put their faith in him, because they put their faith in him, but yet still were surprised when it happened. Christ had to say, that you said, "Did you not say that you believed that I could do what I said I would do?" Because while we can have faith in Christ, it's like the man with the son who had the demon that caused him seizures. "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." And so that's what happened with those whom he told, "I am going to raise from the dead." That's what happened with the disciples. It's amazing. The disciples go and see Lazarus raised from the dead, and less than a week later flee when he is arrested. The same disciples who said, "Let us go and die with him," ran when he was arrested and taken to the cross to be crucified. And this is how we can be. We have our faith that is given to us as a gift from God. We're saved by grace through faith, and even that is not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. But yet we also have our times of doubt. And there are times when we may doubt the Christian story, when we may doubt all of this. But that's why we cry out, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's why we know that Christ, who rose Lazarus, who himself died and was risen from the dead, will raise us on that final day. And it's not something, our faith isn't some intellectual knowledge. It's not something that can be proved rationally, although there are quote-unquote proofs for God, but we cannot put him to a test in the way that some would want to, scientifically testing him. It says quite clearly, do not put the Lord your God to a test. But that's not what our faith is. Our faith isn't some rational process. Our faith, as I said, is a gift from God, and it's an assurance when we're in the deepest, darkest place that we can cry out to him, and we do cry out to him. And there are times when we feel he doesn't listen, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't. He always does hear us, and he's always with us, and he will never forsake us as he promised us. And so in these strange times in which we're essentially prisoners in our own homes, much like many of the disciples and apostles and those who followed him would be, end up as prisoners because of their faith in the resurrection, we should not lose hope. Because whether we're in our houses, or whether we're in church, or whether we're in a prison or a gulag or whatever, on Pascha, the same thing is true for each and every one of us, that Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by his death, death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. And this raising of Lazarus, is that first promise of that. This is him showing us and showing those around him his power, his authority to raise the dead, to loose the bonds of those who are in Hades, to free those who had been separated through death in a place of basically waiting until the time of the his death and resurrection. And so this is why this is such a beautiful, glorious thing that we commemorate, this raising of Lazarus, because it reminds us that he who raised Lazarus redeems us, has saved us through our baptism, will continue to save us as long as we don't reject him and run away from him and stop repenting. And that on the final day, he will save us and raise us with him to his glory, that of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.